We are up to the beginning of Perek Beis. Perek Beis, we've gone through one round of the Aleph Beis, now we're going to go through another round. Everything in Necha is arranged, except for the last Perek, is arranged around the letters of the Aleph Beis. So now we begin Perek Beis. Echa Yob Yapo Hashem Echa, the same old, the different interpretation we had in the beginning of Perek. We had in the Perek Aleph, you can say the same thing for Perek Beis. Echa is Eiko, or Echa is an expression of Tsar, lament. Echa, how could it be? Or it's a question. The question is a rhetorical question. There is no answer to the question. But the idea is, Echa, how could it possibly be? Yoiv biapo Hashem espasio. Now, what is the word yoiv? We thought the word Echa is a hard word to translate. The word yoiv is also a hard word to translate. Here the Rashi says yapil. Yapil means to darken. To darken. Kid Isa. I'm not sure, what does Chof Dalet Aleph, the Rosh Teva, stand for? Anyone know? Chof Dalet... Rashi, Pasuk Aleph. Rashi, Pasuk Aleph. Perek Beis, Pasuk Aleph. No. Chof Dalet, I mean, let me see, you have the same thing. Wait, 1 second. You have probably a different edition. One moment.
Okay,
I have a Rashi Tevis. I'm using a different edition. That's why I had this confusion. Okay, you have it spelled out. Okay, one moment. Rashi's on the next page. Rashi over here is a Yapil Kama De'at Omar, yeah. Like it says, okay, Aramaic expression, Kamod at Omar. The reason why, in my edition, it just has the Rosh Tevis, Chof Dalet Aleph. It's an expression, as in Rosh Tevis, I forgot. And it, like it says elsewhere, where does it say the same exact word? Hashemayim Hiskadu Ovim. The heavens have become darkened with clouds. The word of where Hiskadu clearly means darkened. Darkened. And Ovim is clouds. So we see the connection, the relationship between clouds and darkness. The pasuk, and so now when we go back to this pasuk, and the only thing it says here is a cloud, we can derive from what it says in Melachim Aleph that a cloud is synonymous with darkness. That's this translation. So, Eicha, how could be Yoiv Biapo Hashem? Hashem has darkened. What?
Dark clouds are synonymous.
It's an ominous sign. Dark clouds. Yeah, but sign of Churban, sign of destruction, a violent storm. Eicho yoy biapo Hashem espas tzion. Hashem has darkened Basion in his anger. So darkened means that, in fact, Hazal tell us that after the Churban, the complexion of Klal Yisrael, they have a darkened. You see people who are starving, or people who don't live in the proper nutrition, their flesh becomes dark. And if they're not sheltered from the environment, also the heat of the sun over a long period of time can cause the skin become dark. So all of these things contribute. Malnutrition and lack of shelter from a difficult environment can cause a person's flesh literally to become darkened. And that's what it says here, espasiyoin, period. And then we go on to the next expression. Good morning. Ishlich. Mishamayim Eretz, the Pharisees, Yisrael HaKadosh has cast down from heaven the glory, the splendor of Yisrael. V'lezocher hadoim raglo b'yamato Hashem, did I remember his footstool on the day of his anger. So let's now go back and see the Rashi. Eicha yoif, yapil, darken, kumo de'at omar, the hashamayim hiskadru be'ovim, the heavens have been darkened with clouds. Mishamayim Eretz, Hashem has cast down from heaven to the earth. This is a metaphor. La'achar sheheg bihom ad la'shamayim. It's not to be taken literally. After Kadosh Baruch Hu has elevated Klal Yisrael to the highest heights, kilu to the shamayim, hishlicham la'aretz. He has cast them down to the earth. Bevas achas, in one moment. It was not gradual. V'loy me'at me'at. It was not gradual. Me'igra rama, from an exalted balcony height, lebira amikta, to a very deep pit. And the tsar is, it's not gradual. Everything in life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world where everything happens gradually. does not day and night don't happen in a moment. In fact, in the Nusach HaTfilah, Haner l'aretz v'ladu v'lach v'rachmu v'tuvah mechadesh v'chol yom tov ma'aseh reishis. Okay, I forgot the exact nusach, what I'm referring to, but one of the things we say in the nusach of Yotzer, oh, you have a siddur, okay, thank you very much. Yeah. I once saw this in the siddur, in the bracha of Yotzer Or. Okay, Haner l'aretz v'ladu rim olecho berachamim. What is the rachamim? I don't remember where I saw this. You give light La'aretz, and to those who live upon it, berachamim. Maybe it was from Chaim Kinievsky. Could be, that's where I saw it. The rachamim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows it to get light little, gradually. Ma'at, ma'at.
The transition.
Transition. Because if it would get light, if Hashem would have created the world where it gets light in a moment, we would be blinded. We would be blinded. We could not... the transition would be too great for us to bear. If it would get dark in the moment, also it would be too difficult. The rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that He created a world where things happen gradually. And this is a mashal for everything in Teva. Everything in Teva happens gradually, which allows us to prepare to get ready for what's coming next. And the Churban is described here, and according to Rashi, Mishamayim Eretz, it was the extreme. It was not gradual. And that intensifies the tsar and the difficulty in dealing with Golus. If we had years to prepare for Golus, it would have been different. But here we were taken down from the highest heights to the lowest steps in a moment's notice.
Was it really that sudden?
What?
Was it really that sudden?
Relatively speaking, yes. There was one day there was a Beis Hamikdash, and the next day there wasn't.
No, but in terms of...
The Nevi'im were warning.
Yeah.
The Nevi'im warned, but the Hamoinam didn't believe.
Yeah, they
didn't pay attention.
The Nevi'i Sheker that said...
The Nevi'i Sheker that says, it's not going to happen, it's not going to be a Churban, nothing to worry about, don't worry. And even the Nevi'im, people that did believe, they were few and far in between. They were a minority. Most people did not have faith in the Nevi'im, and they did not prepare for what was coming.
That's why the Yerio was constantly tortured and thrown into
jail. Okay, so how long did the battle...
3 weeks from Shiva Sibatamus. I mean, it was 3 years. I mean, the siege was 3 years. The siege was Asar B'Teves. The siege started Asar B'Teves, and it lasted for 3 years. 3 years, and then it culminated in Shiva Sibatamus, or some say it was the ninth day of Tammuz. Machloikis, when exactly in Melachim it says it took place on the ninth day of Tammuz. So some tell us that it's they lost track of time, and that's why they calculated it. They thought it was the ninth day, when really it was the 17th. Or some say no, it really was the ninth. And the reason why we commemorate the 17th is because the Bayis Sheni, the siege began on the 17th. Okay, that's a different topic.
So I think what we're saying is that even
3 years
interval, because they were in denial, it appeared sudden.
Okay. Yeah, or
the VA Sheker kept on saying,
right, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Okay, it's not going to happen. Hadoim Raglov. What is Hadoim Raglov? Sharafraf. Sharafraf is a footstool, a very popular word in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. Daf Yomi people know the word Sharafraf. Margiloisav, the footstool of one's feet, the Zeh Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is called the Kadosh Baruch Hu's footstool. It's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he rests his Shekhinah, and the foot represents the lowest portion of the body. So it's symbolic that the Shekhinah that's resting on this world is just a fraction. It's not even a mashahu of the ultimate Shekhinah that rests in the higher heavens, in Shemayim. Hashem did not remember Hadoim Raglov B'yoyim Apo. Now let's see first the Targum Pasuk Aleph. Eich Dein. Eich Dein is the translation for how. Dein means... Dein means how. How did this happen? Eich, or Eich. How did it happen? Eich Dein. How did this happen? Yikutz Hashem. How did Hashem reject? Over here in my Sefer, he translates the word Yikutz, working backwards, as the word Yimas, to detest. How did Hashem detest? Hashem b'skoif rugze in his intensity. To koif means gevura,
yeah,
in the intensity of rugze, of his anger. So take note here that the Targum already has disagreed with Rashi and has added some additional interpretation. Yoiv does not mean according to the Targum, does not mean like Rashi to darken. It means to detest.
As in to'eva.
A to'eva. To'eva, right, very good. So the ayin and the beis is the shorish of the word to'eva. It's an abomination. So we have already two translations. If you look probably in the Mikros Gedolos, maybe in the Ibn Ezra, other Shoinim say that it means to destroy. It means kurisa. Yo'iv means to cut down. To bring desolation, shemama. It's another word for shemama. So sach hakol, there's at least three translations for this very difficult word: to darken, to cut down, and the Targum has here the word yimas. It means to detest, to eva.
Evan Hester says something on
it. Yeah, yeah. What does he say?
First he says yesh omrim yod me'ov kmo yachshiv. That's the
Rashi. That's Rashi's interpretation.
It says anochon yagbia ad ov. I don't know what that means.
To elevate. Yagbiya. Oh, so that's maybe what Rashi alludes to. Hashem elevated. That's very good. So that's what he means with Rashi. Hashem, Mishamai Hishlich, Mishamai Moritz. How could it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu set us up for failure? He elevated us up to the Shemayim in order to throw us down. That's maybe a deeper interpretation of what Rashi, where Rashi is saying is, Hashem, He elevated us in preparation to destroy us. That's part of the punishment.
Yeah, well, that's used in terms of Rishoyim, to raise Rishoyim.
Well, we were not exactly...
but to say that Klal Yisrael being treated is being set up...
I think what it means is he gave them a full sense... I think what it means he gave them a full sense of hope. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Churban was about to come. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he set them up, like Hashem decided he's going to destroy them, and part of the punishment is, I'm going to give you a full sense of hope. I'm going to have all the nations of the world, they're going to promise, they're going to help you, I'm going to give you weapons, I'm going to provide for you sophisticated defense forces, and this will serve, give you confidence, oh, we are going to prevail. And then Hashem brought the Churban. So, yeah. What?
That
all came after they were warned multiple times, you should do tshuva. It came a point in time like Kadosh Baruch Hu, we learned this in the Midrash, but Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them many, many opportunities. And they failed, and after all of our failures to do tshuva, Kadosh Baruch Hu brought an awesome punishment. And part of that awesome punishment, according to this interpretation that we say from Ibn Ezra, is of as a cloud, and it fits very well in Hishlich Mishamayim Eretz, Hashem cast down from the heaven to the earth, from the Igra Rama Libira Amikta, from the highest elevation to the lowest depth. In the beginning of the pasuk is giving us the introduction. How do we even get to that highest elevation? It's Yoyiv Bi'apo, Hashem's anger brought us to a high state, like on a cloud, espacion, so that now Hishlich Mishamayim Eretz, He can cast down from the heaven all the way for us from the heaven all the way down to the earth. So we were set up. There's a very popular technique today, if you listen to the news, of people who take revenge, very evil people who are, they set up people, they put them in a situation where they're setting them up for failure to be caught, and sting operation. And they suffer. So kaviyachol, entrapment. Yeah, exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us, probably, nida keneged nida. If we were guilty of doing this to other people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this to us. He set us up for failure. He elevated us to the highest heaven, so we should come crashing down to the lowest depth. And the impact of a crash from a high elevation is much more severe than falling from a lower elevation.
Don't point into the shadows what happened with Yerachma. Hashem tested them.
That's complicated. Shlach l'cha. Hashem did not set us up. Hashem does not l'cha. I don't want you to go. If you want to do it, you want to fail. You want to look for trouble. I'm not going to hold you back. Shlach l'cha on Hashem. Okay, there are different interpretations. Enochanami. But this is an idea. The mentioning, I didn't understand that. Now you explained to me from the Ibn Ezra. Yah means cloud, and when you say it means cloud to the highest elevation, it fits very well into the continuation of the pasuk. So sach hakol, we have here four translations for the word Yah if. Either it means Rashi, yapil. Yapil, a cloud is dark. That is the characteristic of a cloud. That's why the word, so here it means darken. Second interpretation is to'eva, the targum, an abomination. Third interpretation, I don't know where I saw this in the art school. It says there, it comes from the word of shemama. It means desolation. Hashem destroyed. He cut down in his anger. And the fourth interpretation from the Ibn Ezra is Hashem, he set us up. Entrapment. Exactly what it says. Exactly. Hashem brought us up to the highest elevation of a cloud in order to cause us to come crashing down with intensity. Now, Rahman al-Itslan, the pilot recently who crashed his plane, they have all the statistics. He sped up. At the very end, as he was about to go into the mountain, he put the plane into full throttle. So the impact should be with greater intensity, maximum intensity. So Satan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brought us higher to very, very high heights so that when we come crashing down, it will be with a greater intensity. That was all part of the intense punishment. Okay, let's continue the Targum.
You're looking for that pilot to fly Air Force One.
Okay, Rugzei, so here another thing it says, Rugzei, Yos, it says, Bitkoith Rugzei. All it says in the pasuk is, Be'apo. The Targum adds, why I do not know, Bitkoith Rugzei. With the intensity of anger. It's not just enough for the pasuk to say, with anger, the Targum felt the need to add in the word, Bitkoith Rugzei. Yos, Kenishta de Tzion, okay, Knesses Yisrael. Talak means he cast. Okay, it's a new word for us. For me, at least, talak means to cast down. Mishmaya, from the heaven la'aru to the earth. Tushbachta di Yisrael, the praises of Klal Yisrael. So he's here, something very fascinating. The Teferes Yisrael, what is the splendor of Yisrael? What exactly does that mean? So he seems to translate over here, it means our prayers. The prayers of Klal Yisrael, the Shiros Vistishbochis. When we dive into Kadosh Baruch Hu, we praise Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Kadosh Baruch Hu, he rejects. This is very well into the theme we have later on in the Eicha, that Sosam Tefilasi, Hashem has shut out my prayer. We don't what?
That's
what we cut down. And that's one of the reasons, it's not the Ikar reason, maybe this is why we don't say Tachnon on Tisha B'Av. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says, because we were the Korah Olai Moed, it is a festival. And that is on this day, the Melech HaMashiach, we have a tradition, is born. It's a day that will be transformed L'Moadim Acherim. But another reason given by the Mefarshim is Sosam Tefilasi. You have shut out my prayer, you don't want to hear from us, so we don't wear tefillin. In the beginning of the day, we are mamayin in tefillah, in tachanunim, and we don't say tachnun. So here it's the same idea according to Targum. Here it's the word teferes. What is the splendor of Klal Yisrael? What is the beauty of Klal Yisrael? It is the fact that they sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shirois v'sishbachos. So Hashem says, I'm not interested. You can have it for yourself. Hashem, he rejected, he cast down. And indeed, that's how the Churban began. The Churban began when the Levim were singing Shira. It's not a coincidence that the moment of the Churban began, they don't sing Shira the entire day. The entire day, they sing Shira just for a few minutes. Most of the day, what do? The Migdash, they bring the Tamid, they bring the Ketores, they light the Neros, they sing Shira while they're offering the Karban Tamid. The Shira is not sung the entire day. Why was it that the Begum, the enemies of Klal Yisrael, they entered and they torched the Midrash B'davka at the moment when Klal Yisrael, the Levim, were singing Shira. It's a fulfillment of what it says here in this pasuk. The Teferes, the Teshbach is for Klal Yisrael. Hashem says, I don't want this from you. It's not sincere. You're not, they're more, you don't think you can do any every Avera in the book and you can cover up for it by giving me praise. It's not what I want. Hashem cast down to the earth the Teshbach to the Yisrael, V'lo Dekir. Hashem did not remember Beis Mikdashah, the Beis HaMikdash, the Hava that is Gilun Dika Diriglohi. Okay, new word for me at least, the footstool. Okay, the word Rashi says shrafa. Shrafa is a very famous word in the Gemara. But here I have another word, another Aramaic word, gilundika. The lundika means the hadoim raglof. V'lechos Hashem did not have compassion. Alohi Hashem had no compassion upon the Beis HaMikdash. B'yom on the day to kofu tzedeh of his intense anger. Again, he adds in, I do not know why, he adds in apo. Apo is not just enough to be called rugzei. The Targum has a need to emphasize rugzei with the word tekoif. In those days, there was no bold italics. You know, they couldn't change the font size.
They're different expressions.
So, Apo here, he's translating tekoif. Tekoif rugzei. All right, so we'll leave it with this. Now let's discuss a few ideas. First of all, there's a beautiful medrash. The medrash says, "V'lozocher hadom raglo b'yom apo." The word hadom can also be read hadam raglo. Don't read it with a cholam hadom, footstool, and the hay is part of the shoresh, but rather hadam, the blood of one's feet. What is the blood of one's feet referring to? The medrash, bris milah. Bris milah is blood that comes between the feet. In between the feet is where the blood flows at the time of bris milah. The bris of Avraham, Hashem did not remember. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he forged a covenant with Avraham, and that covenant is recognized with milah, bris milah. Basically, it's like bris avos. We have a tradition that Tammuz zechus avos, but bris avos. The Taisus says this. I forgot where. Where does Taisus say this? Somewhere. Taisus says Tammuz zechus avos, but bris avos. This never comes to an end. This pasuk possibly conflicts with that idea, this medrash. The midrashim, not all the midrashim are in agreement that Hashem did not remember, he did not remember the bris avos, because that is what bris milah is all about. 13 brisos Hashem forged in the Torah with bris milah, and bris milah was also the symbol of Eretz Yisrael, the promise to Avraham Avinu that there will be an Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem did not remember the bris milah b'yoyim apo. Okay, another idea. It says Hishlach Mishamayim Teferes Yisrael. Now, I'm not familiar with Inyani Kabbalah, but it appears there are many spheroids and all these mystical things, and this thing called Teferes Yisrael represents Yaakov Avinu. This is probably a Zohar. The Teferis, the splendor of Yisrael. Yisrael is one of the names. Is one of the names of Yaakov Avinu. But the Teferis means the accomplishment of Yaakov Avinu, the synthesis of the midos of Avraham and Yitzchak, of Chesed and Gevura, the midah of Emes of Torah, the Teferis Yisrael. So here, what it means is this: it's a very powerful idea. You can summarize the idea with what Rashi says with regard to Yosef and Eshes Potiphar. Yosef was just about ready to be nichshol in the chait of Eshes Potiphar. And the very last moment, the Baruch Hu sent him a hologram. It wasn't a hologram, but he saw the demus, the yuknoi, shel aviv, of Yaakov Avinu appear to him, b'chaloim. He got a text with the image of Yaakov Avinu that very last moment. And that demus, the yuknoi of Yaakov Avinu, prevented him from sinning. Now, obviously, it's not to be taken literally. He just saw the image of Yaakov Avinu. It means he was about to sin, and somehow the chinuch, the conscience of Yaakov Avinu, it just got to him. Yaakov is the Teferes Yisrael. The bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this day, every pasuk in Eicha there are hidden blessings. Obviously, it's a long toich, it's a kina, literally it's a kina, which I guess we can also associate with curses to some degree, but there are also many hidden blessings. And here it says, Eicha yov yalp Hashem ba'asiyon. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he destroyed, he darkened, he destroyed in his anger ba'asiyon, but the antidote for us to survive this korban is in Golos. Hashem always, he sends down to us the Teferes Yisrael. Just like the first one to go into Golos was Yosef, to some degree. All of Yaakov and all the Shvatim were living in Eretz Yisrael, and Yosef was taken down to Mitzrayim. Ma'is Avos Simin Labanim. This is the beginning of Golos. the model of Golis. And here in Golis, Yaakov Avinu was extremely weak. Yosef was weak in Ruchnius and was ready to give in to the ideology, the tumah of Mitzrayim. And the very last moment, the demus, the yuknoi of Yaakov Avinu held him back, and he survived. It's exactly what's happening over here. Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Espasion, but He spared us by giving us extra special siyata d'shmaya to see before us in Golos the Tiferes Yisrael, the Demus Tiyut of Yaakov Avinu, to put a guilty conscience in us not to sin. And to some degree, maybe not for every individual, unfortunately we know not everyone survived the Nisyonis of Golis, but for the Klal Yisrael Baruch Hashem was still here and going strong after a long Golis, because the Teferes Yisrael is always in front of us. Okay, let's now go to Kehadoim Raglav. There is a beautiful medrash. The medrash relates at the time of Mitzrayim, the Shibud in Mitzrayim. There was a quota of how many bricks must be provided to the taskmasters for a piece of Ramses. And the day came when a woman was in labor. She was pregnant, and she had a miscarriage. And by accident, somehow the baby, the fetus, it fell into the pail where they were preparing to make a brick. And this woman, and under normal circumstances, an accident, just fell into the pail. Even when she gave birth, it went directly into the pail, which she was working. The baby just fell into the pail, or maybe she had a miscarriage, and then she put it on the side, and somehow accidentally fell into the pail. And in that pail, there was straw, and there was whatever, there was clay, mortar, whatever they used to create this bricks. And she was so weak and tired, she said, "You know what? Let the baby stay in there, the nafel. It takes up space, and this way I won't have to go fetch more straw and more cement to make the brick. The volume of the nafel will fill up the space, make my life easier." And she took this, after it dried, it turned hard, she provided this brick to the noges, the taskmaster, and here, take the brick. And she got away. She got away without having to go collect more material. She used it. So the malachim were very disturbed when they saw this. How far Klal Yisrael, how low they've stumbled, how low they've gone. Where they suffered to the degree where they have no koyach. They're even willing to let. She had a miscarriage, which itself was a tragedy, and she even used the fetus to serve in place of a brick. So the malach went, one of the malachim, Gavriel, Michal, whatever it was, he took this brick and he brought it to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he said, "Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look how your people suffer. Look at the tsar of Klal Yisrael. How could this be? The children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, you let them fall to such a low." Hashem said, "You're right. You're right. I cannot forget this. This is something which I have to keep before me forever to remember the Shibud, the Tsar of Klal Yisrael." And Hashem designated that brick as His Hadoim Raglov. I think this fits very well in with other medrashes that really take off. It's because Hadam Raglov. Hadam Raglov, it's the blood. What is a fetus? A fetus is just blood. It's blood. It's what comes out between the raglayim. It is just a collection of blood. So this Hadam Raglov, Hashem decided to use as His Hadoim Raglov, as His footstool, as a constant reminder of the Tsar of Klal Yisrael. And whenever Kadosh Baruch would want to bring punishment upon Klal Yisrael, he would always look at this brick, and he would remember what happened in Mitzrayim, and he would be Meichel Klal Yisrael. But on this fateful day, the pasuk says, "V'loy zochar hadoim raglov b'yoim apo." Hashem did not remember Hadoim Raglav. He did not remember this brick, the Nathel that was in the brick, that was a source, it was always a constant reminder of the Shparuch on the Tzad Klayishol. Hashem did not remember. He pushed it aside and he went forward to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and exile Klal Yisrael. Now, by the way, I just want to point out one interesting point. We over here, the Medrash is taking the word Hadoim, which the hay appears to be part of the Shoresh. And we're saying, you can read it, Hadam. And Hadam, the hay is just a hay, Hayidia. Because the only word really is blood. The Damila, or the fetus, which is also a collection of blood. And the hay is the hay, Hayidia, Hadam. This is not the first time Chazal have done this. The other place which wouldn't point this out because some people are not are not happy when this is done, but Haman Harasha was the most evil man in the world we know, and Chazal also make a parallel between Haman and the man that fell in the middle for 40 years. Es Haman Ochlu Arboim Shana. Simply, the hay of Haman is not part of the Sheresh. It's the Sheresh is the Klal Yisrael. They called each other Manhu Al Kain Karu. They called it. They could pasuk says they called it Man Mem Nun. So the hay is not part of the Sheresh, but the pasuk does say Es Haman Ochlu. They ate Haman. So you have a word where you have Haman and hay is not part of the Sheresh, but the letters are all together. And Chazal also take note that Haman Harasha in the time of Purim is called, has the same exact three letters. So there's a parallel, Zel Umazeh. What's the parallel, Zel Umazeh? Chazal say Haman was a Baal Mechashev. There was no one that knew how to devise and to plan, to scheme like Haman. Any Machshava Ra that one can possibly think about Klal Yisrael or any evil plan, he thought about it. And he presented all of these plans to Achashverosh. The Gemara has a whole page. And the Gemara tells all the various things, all the Lashon Hara, the Lashon Hara that he invented.
Revisionist history.
About Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara has a question, which one is the Avoya? Yeah, 10 interpretations, which one is true? And the Gemara says, they're all true. All ten interpretations, all ten machshavas that were presented, Haman thought of them all. The man is the only thing where Chazal tell us that whatever machshava you had, any machshava, any, it would taste it. If you want to taste steak, it tastes like steak. You want to taste like
a few things,
except for the dogim and the bitzalim and the shumim, because those things that it did not work, because those things would cause damage because that's the only thing that the man does not taste like. But you see over here, the very interesting idea is that Haman was the Baal Mechashev, and the man's taste all depended upon your machshava. I just want to make a point is that you see over here, another item, you're taking over here the hay, hadoim. The hay becomes, it's part of the Sheresh, but here we're using it Hadam, and there as well, Haman, a similar type of drasha. Let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk, move along to Pasuk days. Pasuk days, Bila Hashem Loi Chamal, Bila Hashem Kama, Hashem swallowed, Lo Viloy, we had a vav, Viloy Chamal. And Hashem did not show compassion. Ace called Neos Yaakov, all of the beautiful things of Klal Yisrael. Neos Yaakov, the pleasant things of Klal Yisrael. This refers to the Aseres Hashvatim. Horas, he trampled Be'erosso in his anger. Mivtzerei Vas Yehuda, the fortresses of Yehuda. He Gia La'aretz, he brought down to the earth. Horas Be'erosso. He trampled Be'erosso. Mivtzerei Vas Yehuda Higia La'aretz. Yeah, well, let's take a step back one more time. Bila Hashem Loi Chomal Kama Eis Kol Neos Yaakov Horas Be'erosso. All of the beautiful things in Klal Yisrael he trampled Be'erosso. Kama Mivtzerei Vas Yehuda Higia La'aretz. The fortresses of Yehuda he brought down to the earth, and then Chilel he profaned Mamlocha, its kingdom, Visarech, and its princes. Three different parts of Klal Yisrael. First is the Ne'os Yaakov, the second part is the Nivtzrei Vas Yehuda, and the third part is the Mamlocha and the Sarecha. First to explain is there were different stages. The Golus did not happen in a moment. It happened, it was a process. Even though the previous pasuk it says the opposite. It went down the Igra, in a Chanami, they're showing different dimensions. There are different dimensions of Golus. There's an instant part of Golus, and then there is a gradual part. Here we're focusing on the gradual part of Golus. Then the Os Yaakov are the Aseres Hashvatim, who were exiled by the Bayi Sancheriv approximately 220 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Then came the Mivtzrei Vas Yehuda, that's Yehuda and Binyamin. Yehuda means who was left after the Aseres HaShvatim was the Malchus of Yehuda. The fortresses, Yerushalayim was the last stronghold. And that was destroyed. But who escaped? Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu, the kings, and the Kohen Gadol, Seroyahu, they went into Golos. They did that, so Klal Yisrael, they viewed that even though the Aseres HaShvatim are gone, and now Yerushalayim has been sacked, but we're still a nation. We have a king. We have Tzidkiyahu. We have Surayahu. We have a Kohen Gadol. It just happens to be they're now in exile. But Klal Yisrael, no. Even when they went into exile, when the Nebuchadnezzar imprisoned Tzidkiyahu and blinded him and killed his children, and also exiled, also harmed the Kohen Gadol and all the details, that also was their stature and their power was diminished as well. So it was a gradual process. First, Aseres HaShvatim, then the Malchus of Yehuda, and then even in Golos, Klal Yisrael, their king. In ancient times, it was very popular, you capture the king. And you don't kill the king, it's no fun to kill the king. You capture the king, because that way you can humiliate the king.
That's what the Nebuchadnezzar style was.
Right, that was the style of the ancient world, that's how it was. And then so they took Tzidkiyahu and they took the Kohen Gadol, they brought them down to Bavel, and there in Bavel they were mevazeh the Melech and the Kohen Gadol, and that was insult to injury. And insult to injury, the three different stages of, there's a very powerful pasuk describing the stages. Now let's take a look over here at the Rashi. Rashi pasuk beis Ne'os Yaakov. So Rashi is telling us Pashup Shad means the Bata Yaakov Losha Nove. The word Ne'os means kind of Nove. I translated it to mean the beautiful elements of Klal Yisrael, which is indeed what the Targum says. We'll see that in one moment. But Rashi says, don't translate Ne'os to mean literally the beauty. It more literally means a Nove. Nove is an abode. An abode, a dwelling. The dwelling place is Lashon Nove. Higia Loretz, Hishpil Loretz, he cast down to the earth. Chilal Malko Visorecha, Elu Yisrael. So this refers to the entire Klal Yisrael, which are called Shoyikuyum, Mamleches Koyhanim. The two words together, Mamlocha Visorecha. Okay, he doesn't say over the Sarah, he's telling us over here the princes. The princes, seemingly Rashi learns, like the Kohanim, which then means, Yatem Tihi Yuli Mamleches Koyhanim. So we have really a repetition, poetic repetition, three different parts. Then the abode of Yaakov, the Mivtzri Vas Yehuda, he doesn't translate. And then we have the Klal Yisrael was cast down, Mamleches Koyhanim. Now Rashi has a new interpretation. This is a very mystical interpretation. This Soreha. Medrash Agoda Yesh. There's a Medrash Agoda that says as follows. Elu Sodim Shalmaila. This refers to the angels in heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exchanged their roles. It was a shift in the cabinet. Instead of you, the Secretary of Defense, you're now going to be the Secretary of Education. What is the Secretary of Defense know about education? Nothing. And the Secretary of State, you're going to be the Secretary of the Treasury. What does Secretary of State know about money? Nothing. It's going to be a big billboard. What?
What does she know about foreign affairs?
It's going to be a billboard. It's going to be like a Purim spiel. That's exactly what happened, but even in a worse sense. So here it says, the malach that was appointed to be in charge of or light, you now are in charge of.
It means
or is fire.
Or
fire
and water.
Or is fire. Memune, you're going to be in charge of mayim. Opposites. I have no clue. Absolutely no, no, what you're doing. Okay, now if the Mej would stop over here, then I think that would be an idea in and of itself. That when you have in Shemaim a Pamali Malachim that are doing a job that they've not been created to do, it's a Chorban. Can you imagine? Maybe in America, everyone would switch. It would be better. It would be better. But the Secretary of Treasury has a PhD in economics. You know, you train, you have experience in these things. When you give him a job that he has no, it's a chorban. So that I think itself would be an idea in and of itself in describing how the Shpach were bored about the chorban, the Pamali Shemayla. Everyone got a new job. But Rashi says a little bit more. When Rashi goes on, the Medrash says a little bit more. There were people, there were wicked people, too, he says. He switched the people, the people's roles. There were people among Klal Yisrael that were wicked, and they knew the secrets, they knew all the shemois of the Malachim, and they knew how to use the Malachim to their advantage. And they had confidence. We will do every aver that we want, and then when the time for Chorban comes, we'll just invoke the name of Hashem. We will call upon these malachim, and we will force them through the various shemos to do our bidding, to do what we want, in order that we should not perish. They will swear, they will adjure the Sari Maila, lehatzila me'esh u'mimayim, to spare them from fire and from water, from sword. Now, and that's what happened. So then the Chorban came, so they came, they pulled up their backup plan. They called out the shame of fire in order to burn the enemy. And Ein Kol V'Ein Oineh. The Mamuna said, you got the wrong guy there, the wrong guy showed up. We answered, Ein memshala zo biyadi v'chein kulam. You got the wrong address. You sent the email to the wrong place. I can't help you. I'm not trained, or this is not with my authority. You're calling me. I have no authority. You're calling me to take care of fire. I'm sorry. I'm no longer in charge of fire. I'm in charge of water. So I can't help you. And this confusion prevented the wicked people from taking advantage and manipulating the malachim to their advantage at the time of the Chorban. So that's what it means over here. Chilel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he profaned, meaning he exchanged, he removed them from their status, the mamlacha, that's klal, yishol v'sorecha, the sorim, the princes, the sorim sholmaila, meaning the malachim. Let's take a look over here at the Targum. Targum says, sheitzei. Sheitzei means bila. Bila means to swallow. Sheitzei means to destroy. It means to koras. That's how it translates it here. Koras, Hashem, v'lechos, he had no compassion. Yos, called idis, Yaakov. Idis means the best. Like in Masechet Bava Kamma, the idis, the beinonis, and the ziburius, the best. So he's translating the word neos, not like Rashi. It does not mean a noveh, but it means the idis, the best of Klal Yisrael. Hashem destroyed the best of Klal Yisrael. Yos, called idis, Yaakov, pager. Pager means he was horas. He trampled. Berugze in his evraso. So here you see the word before the apo. Apo, Rashi, the Targum said to koif rugze. Here when it says evraso, it just means stam anger. Berugze, kirake, kinishta, the base Yehuda. Krake means the cities. Okay, krake kinishta means the cities. Krochem, a krach, a city. Kinishta, the cities of the fortified cities. That's the Mivtzar. The Mivtzarei of Beis Yehuda. Amte la'ara, he threw down apech malchusa, b'rav revasa, and he threw down. Amte la'ara, he threw down to the earth. I'm sorry. Kinishta, the Beis Yehuda, amte la'ara, he threw down. Apes means he chilel. It's just translation of what he profaned. the Malchus Malchusaha, the kingdom, the Rav Rivonaa, and the princes. Same idea as we had before.
Sounds like
Ephes. Ephes is which word is Ephes? Which word? Apes. Apes means the chilo. He made to nothing. Yeah, he made Ephes. Ephes to make to zero. He made into nothing the kingdom and the princes. Yes.
You mentioned before your passion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's situations where people are Aniyim or there's a pain and suffering. He comes in and intervenes with compassion. We're talking now of this mind where they pick the bottom, the lowest level, and the Tzar and the suffering and the Kedem all goes up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we discern the difference between what, an Aniyim gets compassion on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the others who are in true suffering don't get the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just let them, the Beis Mishkan was destroyed. The suffering was enormous. And yet, there was no real compassion going out to try and do anything for them.
Tzadik v'raloi, Rosh v'toivloi. We don't know how Hashem does things. We don't know. It's very. I don't know the answer. Everything is very complicated. Hashem has His cheshbonos. The only thing we have to have emunah is Hatsur Tamim Paolo Kichol Derachav Mishpat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways are just, are perfect, and we don't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how He runs His world. Okay, there's one. Okay, let's just an idea. Bila. Bila means to swallow. When a person swallows food, you get no enjoyment. What is the hanah of eating? What is the hanah? Chewing. The hanah of eating is, if you take something delicious and you just swallow it, you've wasted some good food. It's not... The hanah is, it's derech achil. That's another issue, because it has to be derech achil. But let's talk about pleasure. The hanah of eating is to chew. To chew and then to swallow. Bila is a word which means you bring it into your stomach without chewing. Pasuk here is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gained absolutely no benefit from the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Bila, Bila Hashem. The destruction of a Churban is called a Bila. Hashem, He swallowed. The Hashem destroyed us by swallowing us. Got nothing out of it. We should not think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu draws any pleasure from the Churban. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. God Ab Choriyaf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cut down. Another word. Many different words. We had Bila, and now we have the word Goda. Goda means to cut down a tree. Cut Ab Choriyaf in fury. Here we have a new expression. Before we had the Evrosai, and we had Apoi. So now we have a third word. At least the third word of B'choriyaf, called Keren Yisrael. The Keren Yisrael is the best. The Keren, the pride of Klal Yisrael. Heshev Achar Yemino, he withdrew his right hand, Mipnei Oyeb, from before the enemy, Vayivar, and he kindled the Yaakov Ke'esh Lehova, a flaming fire. It's not a real fire, it doesn't say Esh, it's Ke'esh. It was a spiritual fire, Lehova, flaming, a flaming fire, Achlos Saviv, and it consumed on all sides. Rashi, Pasuk Gimel, Heshiv Achor Yimino, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he withdrew his right hand, Heshiv Atzmo, he withdrew himself, Kemeshiv Achor Yimino, Mihilochim Biad, Mihilochim Ba'ad Bona, from fighting for his children. Hashem, just like when you're a soldier fights with his right hand, so when the right hand is extended, this is symbolic of war, of battle. By withdrawing your right hand, it means I'm not going to fight for my children. I'm taking back my right hand. Let's see the Targum. Pasuk Gimel, Kitzeitz Biskoif Rigoz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he cut down. Here we have again the word Tekoif, Bechoriath. Rigoz, obviously, is a different word than the word Rugza in the previous two Psokim. Rigoz, Yos called Yikarei Di Yisrael, the precious, the Yokar, the precious of Klal Yisrael. Arta, he withdrew. Arta, Le'ochoira, backwards. Yad Yimine, his right hand. Velo, Sayale Ame, he did not help his people, Min Kodam Be'el Devava, from before their enemies, the Adleik Rives Yaakov Ki Eshta Din Shal Hava. And he kindled in the house of Yaakov a flaming fire, acholas, chazor, chazor, and it consumed on all sides. Now here we have a very pasuk which is very medrash, takes note of this. We say this every day in davening. It's the last thing we say in Shemoneh Esrei. Hoshia yemincha va'aneni. May your right hand save me. May your right hand save me. Hoshia yemincha va'aneni. May you answer me. What does it mean? Hoshia yemincha va'aneni. So a lot of the midrashim here on the page, they connected to this very pasuk. You should know what we're saying. It's the opposite of this pasuk. God the Bechayav Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he withdrew his right hand. He withdrew. He held back. He held back. Normally, Hakadosh Baruch Hu was described. The right hand is the hand that fights. That's Leichem. The right hand is Mimino Eish Das Lomo. Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah from with him his right hand. Mimino, in his right hand, was an Eish Das, a fiery law Lomo onto them, onto Klal Yisrael. Hashem's right hand is the hand of giving. You give with your right hand and you take with your left hand. The giving is always greater than taking, right? That's a different chazal. Doicha b'small v'kai, small doicha v'kai, that's the mekarib. But the right hand represents the strength and giving, and here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding back his right hand. Heshev achar yimino. Therefore, when we say in Shemoneh Esrei, Hoshi yimincha v'aneni, we are referring directly to this pasuk. Hashem, the time has come where you can put your hand back in the front. You can put your hand back in the front, and you can resume saving us and fighting for us and doing good for us. The Medrash elaborates a little bit more, and Hashem says that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his hand backwards is to be mishtatef in the tsar of Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael were exiled at the time of the Churban, all of the young men, all of Klal Yisrael, they were tied up with their hands behind their back. They were tied up like prisoners in chains with the hand behind their back. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I want to be mishtatef in their tsar. I'm also going to put my hands behind my back like my people have had their hands tied behind their back. So some learn that it's not like right over here. Rashi is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's part of his anger in punishing us. He prevented himself from fighting for us. According to the Medrash, it means something a little bit different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here was mishtatef in our tzar by also putting his hand behind his back. Now this pasuk also is used in reference to Harugei Beitar. Harugei Beitar was the remnants of Klal Yisrael. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there were many people who were killed and exiled, but there was still a major city in Klal Yisrael called Beitar, and it existed for 52 years. For 52 years after the Churban, it was thriving. And it was not... This is the time of the Bayis Sheni, of course. The Bayis Rishon, Tzom Gedaliah, the following Rosh Hashanah, that was really the end of Eretz Yisrael. But during the time of the Bayis Sheni, even though Titus, he destroyed the Midrash, and he exiled many people to Rome, but there was still a She'eres HaPleita living in Eretz Yisrael, and it was believed that from this She'eres HaPleita, Mashiach would come, and they would in the very near future rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And it was there in Beitar where there was Bar Koziva, Bar Kochva, Rabbi Akiva, and all of the action was taken, the focus was from Yerushalayim and now shifted to Beitar, and it was thriving. And that exactly, I think there were 1.2 million people, if I'm not mistaken, living in Beitar. And after this rebellion, when there's a lot of history, the Romans went in and they wiped out the entire Beitar. And that the blow to Beitar was in many ways even greater than the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because it was like the end of the end. There was no longer any hope. And this, according to the Medrash we're describing here, that's what's being described, the Keren Yisrael. Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash was not called the Keren. It was a nice city. It was the Shechina was resting in Yerushalayim, was a holy place. But the action, the tzaddikim, who from the potential to renew Klal Yisrael, it's like the Luzbon, the place where the regrowth can generate from, was in Beitar. And here, it was destroyed with these words called Keren Yisrael. It was wiped out. Hei Shevacha Yimina Ben Oyev, because of the enemy, Vayivar B'yakeish Lahova. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Dalet. Darach Kashle Koyev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he pressed he pulled down on the bow like an enemy. Nitzav yiminoi kitzar. He poised his right hand like a tsar. Vayaharog, and he killed kol machmade oyin, all of the delightful thing, the apple of the eye, the beautiful children of Klal Yisrael. This refers to the children. Machmade oyin ba'oil basion, in the tent of basion shafach ka'esh chamoso, he poured out like fire his anger. Okay, so let's see over here, Pasuk Dal and Rashi. Pasuk Dal, Darach Kashtai. The word Darach means to step. So the question Rashi is asking, when you shoot a bow and arrow, Lag Boimer, you watch all the children with bows and arrows, no one is putting the bow on their feet. They're taking the bow and arrow with their hands. We're brainwashed from, I don't know, from seeing different images. We're brainwashed that you pull the bow and arrow with your hand. But that's not the way the real warriors would fight. The bows, they would pull with their feet. They would step on the, they would put the arrow into the bow, and they would apply the utmost pressure by using their feet. So that's what it means. Darach means to step. The word darach means to trot. Darach kashto ki oye. Rashi says, lefi shekach derach keshes. Shem chazakim.
They would steady.
Stretch the bow.
Their foot.
Stretch the bow. No,
the way you actually shoot it.
The way you shoot a bow, the way you have to string a bow, is to put it one end, that's why it's curved on the bottom, put it over your foot, right, and then drag it back. You need your foot to pull it, because the test pull, is the strings are very hard. You can't pull a good bow. You couldn't pull with your hand. I mean, the ones of that size, you could not pull the string back with your hand without using your foot to bend the bar, to bend the bow.
So you need to use your feet.
You need to use your feet for leverage, and also it steadies the shot.
Dorach kesha shehein chazokin.
You got expertise.
What?
One year I was an archery counselor.
Dorach kesha shehem chazakim lusum ragloy aleihem. Okay, so here it's teaching us the real way to shoot a bow is using your feet. You use your feet to apply pressure. Shehem chazakim lusum ragloy aleihem. Kishu koyfam when you bend it. Lekach nichtav. That's why it's written b'loshem dericha. Dricha lashon of dorach, of using your feet. Shafach ke'esh chamasai, kach tibur hamila shafach. He's asking, what do you mean to pour? You don't pour out fire. The word shafach is right next to the word esh. Since when do you pour fire? Fire is not something that you can pour. So Rashi explains, you're right. You have to read the words out of order. You're pouring out anger. Oh. Anger is something which you pour.
Boiling oil.
No, so Rashi is saying you don't do that. That you're pouring oil. That's not called fire. Fire is intangible. You can't pour fire. So Rashi says the pouring is symbolic, pouring anger. You find all over Tanakh that you pour out your anger upon your enemies. So we read the pasuk out of order. It's shafa chamoso ke'esh. He's just telling us, don't read the words in order, read the words out of order. The arrangement of Hamila is as follows. This is how you read the words. You arrange the words. Shofa chamoso shehikesh. Read it out of order. You pour out your anger like fire. We don't find anywhere in Tanakh pouring out a fire. Ela itzel chema. The only place we find the word pouring is in reference to anger. Kiddushin says in the pasuk, shofei chamoscha el hagoyim. Mizmar l'asaf. We say this mizmar, we say these psukim on the seder. Shofei chamoscha el hagoyim. Okay, let's see. Targum pasuk dalid. Mosach kashtei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he stretched his bow, uregam olai girin, and he shot arrows at me, kiveel devova, like an enemy, period. It's avad al yad yemine, he stood al yad yemine, Nebuchadnezzar, he poised by his right hand, Nebuchadnezzar v'sayeh, and his armies, kiilu hava mo'ik li'amei Yisrael, as if he was bringing pain upon Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he puts, Targum is telling us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he puts his right hand. Who is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right hand in this instance? He replaced his right hand with Nebuchadnezzar. And he's sending Nebuchadnezzar to go and to attack us, to bring upon us Sar. Who could tell me killed. He's translating over here the word, Vayaharog, he killed, Kol Ilum, every young man. Important targum. Machmadei oyin means the best. The best means the children. The children, that's what the targum very clearly says. Uleim, all of the young men. V'chol dim ragin. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. He killed, what did he say over the pasuk? Vayaro kol machmadei oyin. So he says it means two things. He killed them, one called uleim, the young men, and v'chol dim ragin lachazo eino. Everything that is pleasant to look at, pleasant for the eye to see. Period. Then it says, "B'tashkan kinishta." B'mashkan kinishta d'tzion, in the Mishkan of Tzion, shada, he sent forth b'viur, he kindled with fire, and shar rugze, and his anger flared. His anger flared against Klal Yisrael. He poured out. That's the last part of the pasuk. Okay, now here we have over here. We want to focus on one with the word machmadei. I saw something that is truly amazing. Machmadei oyin. The word machmad is the word chemda, or it's also the word nechmad. Nechmad. Oh, the word is used in many different forms. Here it's used the word machmadei. Okay, it can be a Chemdas Yamim Oisei Karasa Zeichel Amase B'Shabbos, called Chemdas Yamim, and then there is Nechmad. There is Nechmad. So here we have the word. We don't have the Nu. We have a Chesmem, but we know that Toiv means good, obviously, and Toiv is a Bigamatria 17. What is 17 multiplied by 6? 102. What is Nechlod? The gematria of Nechlod? 102. So that means Nechlod is 6 times Toif. What's the significance? Shabbos is called Chemdas Yamin. Why is Shabbos called Chemdas Yamin? Because Shabbos is Nechlod. It is the primary word. The word in its purest source is Nechlod. It's precious. Tov is good. Tov is limited. Nechmad is the ultimate good. Hashem created the world in 6 days. Every single day except for Tuesday, it says, Vayar Elokimus, Vayar, what does it say? It says, Ki Tov. On Tuesday it doesn't say, on Monday it doesn't say Tov, so it says on Tuesday Tov twice. So basically, each one of the 6 days, there is a reference to Tov. What is Shabbos? Shabbos, Vayar Elokimus, Kol Asher Asa V'Hine Tov Me'od. Not just Tov. Tov. What is Tov Me'od? Tov Me'od means the synthesis of all the Tov of the first 6 days. When you synthesize Tov of all 6 days of creation and you present it and you give it to Shabbos, the Shlemus of by the Bria, what do you have? Nechmad. Nechmad is the ultimate Tov, the Shleimus of Tov. It is the Tov Me'od. So here it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the deep meaning of this pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vayaro, called Machmadei Oyin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put an end to the Machmadei Oyin. It doesn't just mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tov came to an end. The intensity of Vayaro Lokim Eskol Asher Asa Oyin means the eye. Vayar Elokim, Hashem saw, Eskol Asher Asa, Vihine Tov Me'od. Vayar Elokim Ki Tov. Hashem saw. Wait, does it say the word in the Torah? Does it say the word Tov after each pasuk? How does it say?
Esar Ki Tov, every time it says.
Yeah. Vayar Elokim Esar Ki Tov. Vayar.
Right.
Vaya. So the Tov is always described as a Kaddish Baruch Hu seeing the good. Vayar Elokim Esa'or Ki Tov. Vayar. At the end of creation, Vayar Elokim Eskol Asher Asa Vihine Tov Me'od. It was very, very good. What is Tov Me'od? Tov Me'od is Nechmat. It's the combination of 6 times 17. 102. So that's what it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought an end to Kol Machmadei Oyin. All of the Tov that was in creation, which built up to Shabbos, and Shabbos is the Shlemus of the Bria, and it represents the Beis HaMikdash, is the Shlemus of the world, and of Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought an end to all of that. And I just want to point out why we have this word, Machmadei Oyin, The ayin, the eye, is vayar elokim es kol asher osa vinei tov me'od. Tov me'od, six times the tov is a total of 102, which is machmad. It's a much higher level. Okay, let me just make sure another just quick finish on this passing. It says derech kashto ki oyev. And Farshim tells the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not our enemy. Hashem only makes believe he's our enemy. Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was our enemy, he would say, Derech kashto oyev. Hashem is not the enemy. Hashem makes believe that he is like an enemy. Hashem does not pour out upon us the full midas hadin. Okay, let's stop with that.
Did you get an email about the
CM? But everyone is invited to the CM. You're invited to bring your wives. And, and in the Star Meets Hashem 9:30 in the back room. And all welcome.
You are.